Good morning. Welcome to God's family that meets here. For those of you who are part of the family, it's good to see you again. For those who are visiting, welcome. You are our honored guests, and we're so glad that you are here. I am David Stevens, one of the shepherds here, and I'm sick. So I've learned from Ethan that you put the water under here, and that helps. So this may be the shortest sermon that I've ever presented, or the longest sermon. I don't know. But by the grace of God, I think it will end up being just right. And you also don't have to worry about me being a wandering speaker this morning, because this podium's going to hold me up. All right? So, what a blessing the last 2 weeks to have Ethan Morrison and Alan Priest bring us lessons. You know, what a great opportunity to see some hidden talents in our members that maybe we would not have been able to see had we not had the transition of Jeff and I to go into Tennessee. Can everybody hear me all right? I'm so stopped up, I had no idea how much volume I'm projecting. So, okay. Thanks, Herman. I have the Pope's approval, so. Our church is certainly in transition. Jeff and I have gone to Tennessee. We have elders for the first time in more than 15 years. Some of our members have moved. We regularly have visitors, but every church is always in transition. Think about that statement for a moment. Is a church family ever static with no change? Would you want to be a part of a congregation that never changed? Change is actually a constant. Look at everything that's on this list. These things that happen seemingly all the time. This is graduation weekend. I think Warrensburg had their graduation yesterday. Knob's Nostrils is today. We had graduations the last 2 weekends from college. Cassie had a graduation. George had a graduation. You know, all these are changes. And since God's family is made up of people and we're constantly changing, a transition is almost always with us. And more importantly than what's on this slide, think about how God is changing us as we walk with Him in faith. Think about our individual spiritual growth and our collective spiritual growth as a church family. If we're not changing, it's kind of a dangerous situation. The only church I can think of in the New Testament that seemed to be stuck in neutral was the church in Laodicea. And we read in Revelation chapter 3, verses 15 and 16, this is what God said, I know your deeds, that you are neither cold nor hot. I wish you were either one or the other. So because you are lukewarm, neither cold nor hot, I'm about to spit you out of my mouth. I do not want to hear those words from God about our church family. So I praise God that we are in transition and that we will always be in transition. But you know, this is nothing new. In Ecclesiastes, we read in chapter 1, verse 9, there is, what has been will be again. What has been done will be done again. There is nothing new under the sun. Okay, David, you've made your point, so what? What does that mean for us today? Well, the writer of Ecclesiastes tells us the conclusion of the matter in Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 13. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep His commandments, for this is the whole of man, or the whole duty of man. Our relationship with God is always of first importance because it directs our paths in life and will determine the choices that we make, both what we say and what we do. So here, getting it closer to home, here we go. In our Sunday morning Bible class, we're looking at those first three chapters of Revelation to see what God had to say to those seven churches of Asia. He had commendations for all of them and said, you know, here are your positives. But he also had words to say, you're missing the mark here. This is where you need to grow. This is where you need to change and improve. And so one of the things we're trying to discover is, if God were to write to the angel of the church at Warrensburg, what would he say? How would he fill in the blank? So that's something we're looking at collectively. But today I want us to focus on ourselves individually. What we're trying to find out as a church is, we're actively seeking to find out who we are. Okay? As a church family in Christ. That's what we want to know, is who we are and where does God want us to go. But this morning, rather than looking at us collectively, I'd like us to take a look inwardly, individually. Look at ourselves individually and ask the question, who am I in Christ? According to the Ephesian writer, we are all children of the one true King. In Ephesians 1:5, he predestined us to be adopted as his sons through Jesus Christ in accordance with his pleasure and will. We all have an identity in Christ. We all wear the name of Christ. We are God's adopted sons and daughters. And to guarantee that that is true, God has placed his Spirit in each of us. And that changes everything. His Spirit shows us his truth. We're no longer in the darkness, running our shins into the coffee table corners because there's no light. But spiritually, God is illuminating us and showing us his truth and showing us which direction to go. So as God's children, what are we supposed to do? Well, in Galatians chapter 5, verses 13 and 14, we are to serve one another in love. The entire law is summed up in a single command, love your neighbor as yourself. So if God is telling us to do this, thanks, John. As God is telling us to do this, the question is, how has he equipped us for this task? How has God given us the tools to love our neighbor as ourselves? Who likes to receive gifts? Anybody like to receive gifts? I know I do. It doesn't matter if it's birthday, Christmas, anniversary, Mother's Day. No, that wouldn't be for me. Whatever the occasion, most of us love to receive gifts, especially if they don't take up too much room in our house, right? If they're really big outside, like a vehicle, that's fine, but not in the house. Well, guess who's the best giver ever, gift giver? It's God. God outgives all of us, and he has given each of us spiritual gifts. We've read this in one of our scripture readings in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And in your own daily devotions, I suggest that you read 1 Corinthians 12, 13, and 14, because that all three of those chapters is a discussion of spiritual gifts and their purpose. And also, in the end of chapter 13, Paul says, you know, these things are going to pass away, but what's going to remain? Faith, hope, and love. And the greatest of those is love. Okay? So, these gifts that God gives us, none of them are greater than love. And that's what Jesus has told us. We've got to love God first and then love one another as ourselves. So, this is what Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians 12, verse 1, and then verses 4 through 7. Now, about spiritual gifts, brothers, I do not want you to be ignorant. God wants us to be informed. He wants us to know his plan. There are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but the same God works all of them in all men. Now to each one, that's all of us, the manifestation of the Spirit is given, why? For the common good, to build up, to edify. God has placed his Holy Spirit in each of us who have put on Christ in baptism. He's adopted us as his daughter or son. And by his Spirit, he has given us these gifts to edify, to build up the body of Christ for the common good. So, we're hitting the home stretch. Three questions I want us to ask ourselves today. Here's the first one. What are my spiritual gifts? That's a question we need to ask. And pray for God to show us the answer. And if you're not sure, ask some of your brothers and sisters. Because sometimes we can see each other's talents better than we see internally. Sometimes we can have a blind spot. right? There are at least four New Testament passages that talk about different spiritual gifts. Romans chapter 12, which is where we're going to focus this morning. 1 Corinthians actually 12 through 14, but the list is in chapter 12. Ephesians 4 and 1 Peter 4. And some of the gifts are repeated in multiple of those passages. But I would ask you to prayerfully consider these passages this week and to pray that God will show you which gift or gifts He has given to you, which talents He has given to you to serve His church, His people. So let's move on to the second question. How am I using my God-given gifts to serve one another in love? There is so much service already going on in this church family. As the other shepherds and I were discussing the upcoming ministry appreciation dinner, that's the second Sunday in June. Please put that on your calendars, 11 June. It's in the blurb. Thanks for putting that in, Deb. We won't have a potluck on the first Sunday next month, and part of that was just scheduling. But as we started listing all the acts of service that go on and all the different people who are doing these different things, it was very humbling and encouraging to think about how much service already goes on in this congregation. Okay, there are so many Christians serving one another in love. I actually think this is one place that God would commend us. Okay? So one of the questions we're trying to ask is, do I have a gift or gifts that I'm either not using, or I'm barely using, or rarely using? Let me say that again. When you've identified your gifts, is there a gift or gifts that you're not using, or that you're using very little? Okay. That's kind of the question. Do I have a blind spot where God would have me serve more based on the gifts He's given me? There's a couple of parables that tie into this. The first is the parable of the talents. This is found in Matthew 24, 14 through 30, and we're going to focus on that this morning. But God makes the same point in Jesus' parable in the parable of the 10 minas found in Luke chapter 19, 11 through 17. First, if I use the gift as God has intended, then in verse 21 it says, God considers me a good and faithful servant. However, if I do not use my gifts as God has directed, in verse 30, God will call me a worthless servant. It says verse 29, but it should be verse 30. I'd much rather be considered a good and faithful servant of God than a worthless servant. So let's see exactly what Jesus said at the end of this parable in Matthew chapter 24, verses 28 and 29. Take the talent from him and give it to the one who has 10 talents. For everyone who has will be given more, and he will have an abundance. Whoever does not have, even what he has will be taken from him. Those of us who have been in the military or are in the military, we understand the concept of use or lose leave, right? There's only so much leave you can carry over to the next fiscal year. And if you have an excess, guess what? You just lost it. Never to see it again. Okay? Well, it seems like in these two parables that God is telling us through Jesus that if we don't use our God-given gifts, they'll be taken away from us. So God's spiritual gifts are use or lose. And it's important for us to remember that. So, this brings us to our third and last question. Stick with me. I think we're going to make it. How do I use my spiritual gifts? Let's look at Romans chapter 12 to see what God's Spirit says through the author there to answer this question. Romans 12, 3 through 8. For the grace given to me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment, in accordance with the measure of faith God has given you. Just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ we who are many form one body, and each member belongs to the others. We belong to each other. We have different gifts according to the grace given us. If a man's gift is prophesying, let him use it in proportion to his faith. If it is serving, let him serve. If it is teaching, let him teach. If it is encouraging, let him encourage. If it is contributing to the needs of others, let him give generously. If it is leadership, let him govern diligently. If it is showing mercy, let him do it cheerfully. Clearly, humility before God and one another is of first importance. If I don't love God and His people, how can I serve them in love? This scripture kind of reminds me of the old Nike commercial. What did it say? Just do it. Doesn't it kind of remind you of that? If this is your gift, then do it, and do it cheerfully. So here's the conclusion. These are the three questions I would encourage us to ask ourselves individually. What spiritual gifts has God given to me? Am I using those gifts for the common good? And how do I use my gifts to serve others? The answers will change as we continue in our walk with God, and He changes us and matures us and grows us. That change is constant, especially as we are running toward God and seeking Him first above all else. Sometimes the application may pose a challenge of how do I use my gift, but I'm sure God will show that to us. And as a body of Christ, it's up to us to help one another show how we can use those gifts. The other elders and I would love to talk to anybody if you're struggling to figure out what your gift is, or if you know what your gifts are and you want to use them and you're not sure how. We'd be happy to sit down and pray about it and help you in that way. In fact, God has called us to do this, all of us, to do this with one another in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 21. And let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds. So here's your last slide. Here's the goal. This is where we want to be. I know my spiritual gifts, and I use them to fulfill God's purpose. Seems kind of succinct and concise and simply stated, but I think the harder part is in the application. And that's where God, through His Spirit and His grace, will give us what we need to serve Him and to serve one another in love. Do I believe that God has given me spiritual gifts? Do I know what those gifts are? Am I actively using my gifts to serve one another in love? Please take some time this week to ask yourself these questions and pray for God to clearly show you the answers. If you need to change your direction, God is faithful. Remember, He is the one who gave you the gifts, and He is the one who gave you His family in Christ to serve. So as we finish up this morning, are you living in the hands of the Good Shepherd? Have you given your life back to God through Jesus Christ? Have you obeyed Jesus' command to be born again of water and the Spirit? If you have any need this morning, please come forward and we'd love to pray with you and for God to work mightily in your life. Please come as we stand and sing.